Hey, Adam.
What's up, babe?
We're in the pit cart at Gingerman, which feels familiar.
Yeah.
Feels familiar to me, too.
Hey, Ed. What's going on, man?
Hey, buddy.
Ed sold us this pit cart. Sold me this pit cart. Before we get started, and before we get into the silliness, what's this podcast brought to you by, Abe?
FCP Euro.
And the letter A. And B and C.
I have the Sesame Street Letter of the Day song stuck in my head right now.
That's so good. FCP Euro, all the parts are guaranteed for life.
And Apex Pro with their new Gen 2 hardware, which is awesome.
Yeah, baby.
And if you aren't familiar with that new product, you should go to the TrackTuned YouTube channel where Andrew and I
did a
video podcast where we walk through the features and the new functionality. And like, as a podcast, it's okay, but with...
Pretty good video.
With the video, it's better.
I mean, we got Abe. He's got a face for the radio, but sometimes he's on the video.
I have a face for radio and a voice for reading books.
Yeah, you did a great job, man.
All I know is that Andrew Rains is a babe.
He is kind of a babe. Dude's such a looker. What a nice fellow.
And he's a good talker.
He's really good at talking.
My favorite guest speaker in beginner meeting hangouts is Andrew Rains.
Yeah. Andrew Rains tied for close second with John Raymond. Slayers.
John Raymond delivers a good meeting.
He does.
I witnessed one today. I was impressed.
Pretty good. I'm pretty good. There's a reason he's here. So
on the podcast.
Also, Patreon listeners, we appreciate the support.
And
always.
Boy, oh boy, do we have something we have planned for you.
There is a thing tomorrow night.
if you previously listened to the Patreon-only sister episode.
Yeah. So I like literally feel bad exploiting Dalton for his crazy family incestual stories.
Oh
but
no!
It's like
hedonism forgot how to happen, and they're just like, "Hey, that's my family. This shit looks fun. Let's hang out."
I will say that I got multiple messages, people saying. This is what we pay for.
If that doesn't make you want to sign up for the Patreon, I don't know what will.
Dude, nothing.
Can I give you cash now?
Nothing made anybody sign up more than that show. We're talking ridiculous amounts of listeners. Dalton's stories are ridiculous, and they're super fun, so we might be sticking a mic in his face tomorrow.
The 10 Tents boys... They're said that if the sister episode was good, this is better.
Oh, no. I don't think I have it in me to do this. This week gets too hard. So right now we
this
are
is the
at...
warm-up.
It's Friday night at spring kickoff. I've been here since... I don't know. I've been here for a couple days.
You got here at 3 a.m. on Thursday morning.
Yeah, this event is sort... Like, right now, this is my nirvana, personally. Like, this is the place... Like, walking the paddock, it's like two steps chiller than Midwest Festival at night, but it's really big.
Right now, it's got like a Hundami vibe, doesn't it?
It's really full, though, and it's really fun, and there's neon lights everywhere, and everybody's having a great time, so I'm having a really good night. Who's on the show tonight, Abe?
We've got Eduardo Collazo, otherwise known as EdCZ on the internet.
Hi, friends.
Hey, buddy.
And we also have Rob Fields.
Yes.
Formerly of Good Arrow, and now of... Fields
Autoworks.
You guys are
a cool little car you're having.
I appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
So, tell us everything about your life. Please start at the beginning.
Yeah. Where were you born? How old are you?
What's your sign?
How do you take your coffee?
He's a Gemini. He prefers it with cream only.
So, we'll start on the motorsports journey. My father raced formula cars, and he was a Lola dealer. He was around kind of the edges of being a professional in motorsport all his career, but he had a day job like so many of us have. And,
we know all about the day job.
Oh, we all do.
I can't tell you the number of people that ask if grid life is full-time for you and me, and it's like, kind of, but like that's not what we
it's
do
only
for a living.
It's only because we make our other jobs tolerate 40 hours worth of bullshit.
I spent at least 10 hours this week at work doing pairings and sending emails. I'm so glad my boss doesn't know what a podcast is.
So, you know, growing up like that, I never really had a hope of escaping this, right? And so... I grew up, doing that, helping my dad out in the pits a little bit here and there, and went off to engineering school, learned a little bit about how to build stuff, and how to go fast. And so while I was at school, I started helping out with some regional teams, and my dad was kind of winding down some of the stuff he was doing in his daytime career. We got to a point where I was working on engineering projects for Scott Good, who had started Good Aero. And it got to a point at Good Aero where Scott was ready to move on to something else. And he was making a bunch of changes in his life, moving and taking care of his folks. And so I ended up taking over Good Aero from him. And we had that for 5 years. In that time frame, my dad retired. And so he was the design director for a lot of the Good Aero stuff. And we did eventually, a little over a year ago, sell that off. It's in very capable hands at Demon Speed Motorsports now. But while we were working on all that stuff, we were looking, you know, really hard at the market and what people were doing. And my dad had, over the course of his motorsports career, designed and built a ton of cars. You know, from paper to reality, it was 5 cars at that point.
That's so wild.
But
it's like a thing nobody.
His dad
did.
Is oh, so unbelievably
it's
intelligent.
So cool.
But it's also one of those things where, like, each one of them was like one was built, or 3 were built,
right,
or
right. Yeah,
and they were formula cars and sports right.
Totally
racers.
Totally low volume stuff.
Exactly.
But nobody you never meet somebody who's like, yeah, I built 4 of those. Like, that's the
right.
See that car? Like, I've met 4 people in my life that have been like, see that car? I built that car. Like,
exactly.
All of it out of steel. Like, out of aluminum. Yeah.
I know. And
so rare.
So he was talking about continuing to do that in his retirement as he was getting ready to come out of his industry, his career in telecom. And we were kind of looking around, and I said, Dad, everybody we know that builds race cars is going out of business, or they've got some other support, right? You look at Elan, you look at Van Diemen, you look at Lola, you look at Dallara, you look at...
So that sounds like a great business to start.
Right, exactly. So
everybody else failed. Let's try that.
Well, and that was exactly it. And I said, Dad, everybody we know who builds race cars isn't being successful in this market.
Right.
What's being successful where the major OEs are investing are in track cars. People want to be able to take their buddy out with them. They want to go to Cars and Coffee. They don't want to be seen in the car. So let's build something that people can enjoy on the street. They can enjoy it on the track, and it's going to be capable in all those environments. And he gave that a hard think. And there were a couple of years in there while he was wrapping up his telecom career and Good Aero was growing, and we continued with that he stewed on that. And finally, in 2017, between the two of us, we put pen to paper on a couple of designs, and he pulled a few things out of his old toolbox on how to build formula cars and sports racers and super lightweight models. And I brought some of my aerospace background and some of my manufacturing background. And the result was we spent all our money trying to make cars.
At NCM, was the first time I saw one was the Cardinal Bare Chassis at NCM.
Mm-hmm.
And I had seen it on Facebook a couple times. And then Steve, who's working with you guys now, Steve Holscher, I've known him. He instructed with us at Shenandoah a couple years ago at Summit Point. And I've known him on a couple of forums for a long time. And he had shared some stuff years ago, or somebody had shared some stuff years ago. I was familiar with it when you first came up with it. And then seeing one in person, it was like, it's pretty rad, man. Like, the underskin and the underbody of that thing. Tell us the details on the car. Like, what's the purpose is, like, street track day car.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Cardinal Coupe, it is meant to be a super high-performance, you know, lightweight GT style of car. It's a classic GT car, right? It's a 2-seater.
Classic looking also.
Oh, absolutely. It's extremely
very
nostalgic.
Much.
It's a paneled
space and functional.
Oh yeah. It's a paneled space frame type construction, which is the form of race car construction that was used in cars like the Porsche 962s and things like that. It's the technology that was replaced at great expense by the carbon monocoque.
And unibodies and stuff like that.
Right. And so for what we're doing, we said, all right, look, we want a paneled space frame for the main tub. We'll do tubular steel substructures. So it's an extremely lightweight car. The one that we have with us this weekend is sitting there without a driver, but otherwise ready to go at about 1,800 pounds.
What is the, for listeners, like what are the big bullet points? So suspension design, drivetrain, et cetera.
So it's a pull rod suspension, formula car style, double A arm. Pull rod, not push rod.
So what's it? Everybody knows what a push rod is. You get, instead of a shock, you have a rod, the shock's at a different angle, et cetera. Unsprung weight, whatever. What's a pull rod?
Pull rod is exactly the same basic concept, but you invert the motion ratio. And so instead of compressing, instead of the rod being pushed when you go into compression, it's pulled when the wheel goes into
compression. So the shock goes into compression instead of the other way, it just pulls on it instead of compression with the rod pushing on it.
That's exactly right. And the advantage of the pull rod, I mean, push rod is great if you're going to be making damper changes on a regular basis, if you want to have the blade-style formula car sway bars. But if you are not going to be making hot swaps on dampers, pull rods allow you to have less material because the tensile strength is greater than the compression strength, and it allows you to put the damper in a lower position.
I was wondering if it was CG-based.
It helps quite a bit on that. Interesting. Especially, you know, the rest of the car's light enough that everything like that is a consideration.
Right.
So suspension's double A-arm pull rod. The chassis is all tubes.
Is it independent rear?
It is independent rear.
What diff?
So we're using the diff, the axles, the hubs, everything out of the current generation Mustang. Everything from the flywheel back, if you're using our intended drivetrain, is GT350. Right. Everything forward of that is EcoBoost.
So you have a car with parts, the hard parts that are consumables on a 4,000-pound car, on a car that weighs 32% of that?
Right.
That's kind of cool. might be long-lasting. Yeah.
It should last a long time, but also, you know, from our formula car days, it's like nobody wants to wait for parts from England for 3 months to go racing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Spindles and stuff like that, like what are the hard parts on that stuff?
So the like bearing cassette hub is bolted in from the Mustang, but what it bolts into is our suspension up, right? So basically,
you can go to AutoZone and buy some stuff.
Buy some stuff. Right? The real intent was, unless you wreck the car, if you're just maintaining it, you shouldn't have to call us for parts
or ever even fix it because it weighs 30% of the parts that it's designed to beat up.
I think people on the internet are obsessed with high horsepower modern cars.
Yeah, and they weigh 4,200 pounds.
And they, like, for example, the new TLX, I think, is awesome.
Yeah.
But it weighs more than 4,000 pounds.
That's a lot
of
weight.
I don't know why.
High threes, low fours is crazy for a track car, dude.
You're talking about my race car.
And so, like, you always...
It's like my 92. It's super heavy.
Cool,
it's got a bunch of power.
It makes
good noises.
It's a big
car
with a lot
terrible.
Of power.
Yeah, it's heavy.
But everything about going to the track is expensive when you have a heavy car. Everything. And so, like...
Gas, brakes, everything.
Gas, brakes, tires all those things that you use while you're slowing down a 4,000-pound car?
Slowing down, speeding up, making turn.
Well, and at the end of the day, there's no amount of horsepower that helps you stop or turn.
Right, that's true. So
I like that. I'm going to use that.
That's a pretty good say. As far as tires and stuff, like, what's the biggest you could tuck under this thing? Like, what do you put under
How much do you want is a better question.
So,
he's about to tell you how much you need because he did the math.
The way the car is sitting this weekend is on 225 square.
Okay.
And it's plenty quick on that. We like having the smaller tires for short sessions because you get heat into them right away. Right. You don't have to worry about them. And even on the 225s, a set of A7s is lasting us 6 or 7 weekends.
Cycling out before you're wearing out.
Correct.
Right.
Now, in terms of what you can put under the car will take 315s in the rear and it'll take 295s in the front.
Oh my goodness.
Neat.
So 3 laps in, you might have heat in the back, huh?
Well, it depends how much tow you want to
run, I guess. So much happy medium in between those two sizes.
Oh, there is. Like,
We've made a wrong turn with the 225.
So you can put Miata tires or C5 Vet with stretched fenders.
Well, that's
tires.
For the guys that want to put an LS in it.
Yeah. Okay.
So... One of the things that we...
are the physical dimensions of this car? How big, how wide, how tall?
So...
it's not very big.
It is, it's not,
tall.
Well, it's not, but it you know, when people see it on the internet, when they see the renderings and stuff, everybody thinks it's going to be like NA Miata size, and it's not. You know, it roughly fits in the same dimensions as an E46 BMW, but it's about 4 inches shorter.
And it's... roughly, what, 1,000 pounds lighter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every bit of that.
Right. It's pretty wide. Like, it's a big car.
Oh, it is wide. One of the things that we... So, through Good Aero, we spent a whole bunch of time working on a really cool aerial atom that ran in One Lap of America a bunch of times. It had crazy aero and turbo.
Is that Jack's car?
That is Jack's car.
Okay.
And as part of that aero development, we spent a bunch of time with that car. We were doing shock potentiometer data and brake data and all this stuff. And one of the things that we noticed about that was that we expected that car to be very similar to like a Lotus Elise or anything. We expected to be banging helmets together between the driver and the passenger, and we weren't. And we were really pleasantly surprised by that. And we said, all right, we got to carry that over, you know, that characteristic over in anything that we design.
Why do you think it did that versus your expectation of it?
Well,
what was the change?
I think the spacing between the seats in the Atom, but also the Atom. One of the things with the Atom is that, you know, you really are right out against the outer edge of the car.
Right, right. There's not a lot of crash protection. Whatever.
No, and you know they've got some really serious
strong,
structure
yeah,
there,
right.
But it's you're right up against it. Right.
Right.
There's no cushion, and so the Cardinal's partly as wide as it is, so that you have a combination of some really good side intrusion protection,
right,
while also preserving that distance between the driver and passenger.
Okay. Can it be street driven?
It can, but we get into a very particular area here, which is Fields Auto Works is a rolling chassis manufacturer, right?
Okay.
So if you want to drive this on the street, I can't tell you what drivetrain to put it in it. I can tell you what we designed it around, what's intended, which parts to go buy. But at the end of the day, what we're going to ship you for a street car is a rolling chassis,
right?
Now, it'll be a turnkey rolling chassis, meaning that until you lift the hood up, you'll think this is a done car, right? You turn the key and the lights come on and it's ready to go, except it doesn't have a motor or a transmission or a drive shaft.
Right.
If you want a track-only model, get in touch with us. We'll figure out a way to make it happen.
Right.
If you want to
know a guy who can put a motor in it.
Oh, absolutely. And, and at the end of the day, that's a big part of our business model is we're looking at it going, people want, in most cases, done cars, right? How do you make sure that people can end up having a car that's done to the same level that what we want to have roll out of our factory is done to?
Makes sense. It's got like this weird but also super cool vintage design. What are your thoughts and what kind of feedback have you gotten from it? Like the bodywork looks like something that you're like, I think I saw that run.
So I'm not a vintage car expert, and so I'm sure plenty of people will tell me I'm wrong. But like this car is cool in the way that I think like Morgans are cool.
Yeah, and it also
it's like
has,
an MG and a Morgan had a baby and went fast.
Right, and it's got like a cool grill
and didn't
that
catch on
looks
fire
a little
randomly.
Bit like Alpha, but also like
so
like the front three quarter, back three quarter, and side profile. I love
so
a lot. Like I really like the looks of it.
First of all, we very much appreciate that.
It's a subjective car, though.
Oh,
sure.
It is, especially the coupe. You know, the main design inspiration really are the Zagato bodied cars of the 60s, right?
Oh,
so that comes out in
totally
the Alphas, the Aston, like DP214 and DP215s. The really common one everybody's going to be familiar with would be like the 250s. Part of the reason that was so key to our inspiration, number one, we recognize there's a tremendous amount of nostalgia in the motorsports community right now.
Right.
We could have draped any kind of body over it. Right,
yeah, you probably could have put a sports racer freaking like radical looking body on
and,
it.
And there's nothing to say we won't at some point.
Right.
And call it something else.
Yeah,
frankly.
Rear engine radical or front engine radical could be cool. Right.
But
Cardinola.
But at the
you're
same time,
for the naming rights,
right.
For the next one,
I'll send you a bill.
License. part of the reason that we picked the body style we did on the coupe is because those cars in that sort of slipstream era, they were extremely aerodynamically efficient from a drag perspective.
Right.
Unfortunately, because they were so focused on the drag and not so much on stability and downforce, those cars in that time, while they had great top speed for their power output, they weren't always the most stable. They didn't have the most grip. Pair that with the tire technology of the time, right? So for us, what we said is let's take advantage of the drag perspective of that, but work in some modern cooling and downforce elements to the aerodynamics, preserve the original kind of nostalgic body to it, but
well,
bring a whole bunch of function
can
as well.
Can you speak to that a minute? Like, if you have this car that you've built, tell me about the construction of the body and like how you went about, I guess, designing and building it. Like, what's it made of, and what's the process that goes into producing a shell?
Absolutely. And I will preface this with, the car that's sitting here this weekend is the test mule car, right? So that body has been cut up and put back together and cut up and cut up and cut up. And so for the cradle to grave of the production body work was, we started with a physical buck that was sanded into the shape of the car.
Cool.
And then pulled molds off of that.
Right.
Took those molds, which had no flanges, no backsets, no edges, and pulled skins from those molds, took those skins and trimmed them and formed them and added flanges to them, and that is the test body that's here this weekend.
And that's constructed of
fiberglass, completely fiberglass.
Yeah.
From there, to go on to production body work, which is what's on the subsequent cars that are out in the world or in our shop being built right now, the process was to take that test car and take the measurements, figure out, okay, well, maybe this flange really belongs another quarter inch this way, or it really needs this kind of a radius, or it really needs a whatever, and take that back to the molds, make those changes in the molds, and then pull production
body.
Yeah,
you're looking for longevity and ease of assembly and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And so the result of that is we kept this test body on this car because this is the one that we continue to develop on. We rent it out to people. That is just to pause on that for 1 second. That's one of the things that I think is really cool about what we do is, how do you test drive a race car that you want to buy, right?
Right.
So what we do is we say, well, we'll rent it to you for a weekend. And, you know, at the end of the weekend, if you decide you want to buy it, we'll take the rental fee and credit that towards the purchase of the car.
Crap out of it.
So come try it out.
It's like a really fun version of a deposit.
Exactly. I mean, worst case, you rented a fast car for the weekend, and best case, you ended up with a discount on the car after you rented the one that's
non-refundable unless you buy one, in which case we'll give you all your money back.
Well, but again, you know, you rented a fast race car for the weekend.
That sounds awesome.
And so far as we can tell, fairly unique in that track car world.
That's very cool. So, I guess to that question, you might say, well, like, whose idea was that? Or, like, to me, that seems like really effective marketing. As you guys are building your company, at what point were you like, no, that's what we're going to do. That's right.
Well, I think a big part of it was we approached it from the standpoint of, you know, knowing the performance, knowing everything, but not having a name. Right,
sure.
Not being a household car builder name, what can we do that's going to inspire confidence in people? And so, if we're confident enough to say, "Yeah, you can come run the car all weekend and you know run the heck out of it and see what it does," and we feel confident that you're going to come away from that experience wanting to buy the car, then you know that confidence transfers through into people being, "All right, well, I'm going to take the chance and I'm going to rent the car and see how it does."
Awesome.
And so far, the results have been overwhelmingly positive with that process.
Cool.
Yeah, I would imagine consumables are a huge part of the purchasing, like, reasoning. Like, if you want to do track day stuff, working on cars is the worst part about it. Like, how is the car to live with?
Oh, it's extremely livable. It's so it's super light on brakes, tires, and gas.
Yeah.
You know, as with that weight, you'd expect, right?
I literally designed my own car around not having to do brakes on it very often. It's the best. Just make it 1,750 pounds, and you don't have to fix it a lot.
Right? It's
put the hubs on it off the 3,000-pound Civics, and put the brakes on it off the 3,000-pound Civics, and make it 1,700 pounds. And you don't have to fix it.
I've had so many customers that start out with, like, I'm going to buy a 911 Turbo. I'm going to go to the racetrack.
Right.
I'm like, I mean, that's a great plan if that's
You're
what you want to do.
Hate your life, but yeah.
And then they're like going through a set of tires every two events.
Well,
you can't turn off the traction control completely. They're drinking fuel like it's going out of style. A brand new set of brakes every 3 weekends.
Yeah.
And then a year and a half or 2 years later, they're like, I want a Lotus.
No, but
because I can pick it up and put it in my trailer by myself.
My wife says I should buy an ND Miata. Should I buy one of those?
Spec Miata looks real attractive when your brake replacement cost can buy a Spec Miata.
That's true.
Well, I wanted to and the crew. For a second because, like, buying those high horsepower fast cars is fun and attractive if you're not in it. But, like, If you want to do track stuff for 20 years and you want to get enjoyment out of it the whole time, getting something that is cheap to run at the track is important.
You're right, but that's not how a lot of people start. Like,
I know.
A lot of people start with the car that they bought for the street and then segue into, okay, I like this, I want to do this long term, how do I make this work? And what's going fast around me that is obviously having just as much fun and not spending the amount of money that I'm spending.
So,
and that's how you end up at something awesome like that, or in another lightweight production, low consumable car like an Exige or an Elise or a Miata. You fill in the blank here. There's a billion of them. But
so something I want to touch on there, you know, you talk about going to the track for 20 years and you know, we absolutely, you know, build to that. But at the same time, we're not in a position to wait 20 years for people to recognize what we're doing.
Right.
And so our cars have to be fun in 20 minutes.
Sure.
Yeah. One session in, you want to own that thing.
Well, but like, I have an 8th gen Civic, and it is not a fast car, but you can drive it kind of quick, and it's cheap to run. It's always reliable. It's very, very basic, and there is still work to be done to get fast enough to drive to the limit of the car.
Right.
Like, driving a 500 horsepower Evo is fun for a minute, but unless you have a lot of means to throw at a car like that, cheap car is better because what you're paying
for
is the opportunity to turn last.
I forgot about that. You are the epitome of that. My previous statement.
Oh, he turned around.
Yeah, you went from high horsepower, unlimited time attack,
street mod champion time attack.
Yeah, car to. This Mugen Civic is the coolest thing I've ever had.
Yeah.
No, it is, because like, if you want to be doing it for a long time, it has to be cheap enough to like keep doing it.
It also, I think, a big part of the reason that I drive my current car, and that I think a lot of people drive their cars, is like, it's got to stir your soul a little bit. Like, it's got to be something that you're into. Like, Ed's into his E36.
Like, big time, and I remember that. Like, aggressively, when I drove it for the first time in 3 years.
You got to be into the car that you're playing with, too. And I think you guys have built kind of a unique little car that you can get into a little bit, too. Like,
oh, absolutely. So it's got a ton of character.
It's so unique, too.
It's like, unique. You're not going to get passed by another
one. When it pulls up in the grid here, today it pulled up a bunch of times, and it's like, everybody's like, what is that?
Like, yeah, oh, yeah.
Everybody stares at it. Like, it's unique enough. But it also looks like... Is that thing from the 60s? What is that? It's got a cool vibe to it. So.
It does, and I appreciate that very much. I think that, you know, with what we're doing, it's so important that the car be fun.
Right.
You know, it's got to be fast. It's got to be reliable. It's got to be easy to work on. It's got to be cheap to work on. It's got to be all these, you know, it's got to be so many things. But primarily the thing that we have to be successful at is putting a smile on people's faces.
Right. I mean, that's the biggest, that's like the biggest pursuit of even like a track day org like us, is you're selling fun.
What is the product?
Yeah, your product.
The product is fun.
Smiles.
Always. Fun, smiles, vibes, and smiles. Yeah. And high fives. And hugs again now.
Right. Now we're allowed to hug a little bit, at least as of Thursday in Michigan. So,
So, Rob, what's the build time on cars currently?
Sure. For the Cardinal model, if you want a rolling chassis, you're looking about 3 to 4 months out. And if you want a done car working with one of our authorized service partners, you're looking 5 to 6 months out.
That's not very long.
Yeah. It's not.
That's ready for next year.
Oh, absolutely. And that's because
people wait longer for a Wrangler.
Yeah. Like So this is a quirky little car. It's also like super unique, super cool. But I see it as a cool point in the track day, or like even time attack. Like, you could run time trial stuff. It would fit in a few across a bunch of different stuff. But it's this weird point where you could get into this car for less than a lot of people have. Somebody, like, if you brought an S2000 that's a claptrap $10,000 S2000 to ASM, and like had them build like a street mod car,
yep,
you'd be into it for a lot of freaking money, and it would be a pain in the butt, and you couldn't live with it. And you'd be a real similar pace.
You couldn't do
pace.
It in 5 or 6 weeks either.
You'd be a real similar pace to what this crazy little tube frame pull type suspension double wishbone toy. It's like it's
the Cardinal's not slow.
Like it ain't slow. No, we're talking like a quick car. Sub 140 is no big deal.
Can I drive it tomorrow?
We'll find you a spot.
I want to drive it so bad.
Yeah, I want. I actually really want to drive it too. But
Tom turned a 136 today, right?
In traffic, yeah.
A 36 in traffic.
I'm surprised that wasn't on his outlap, knowing Tom.
That is ignorantly stupid.
He's my best friend that makes me feel worse than any other friend.
He's the worst friend.
I'm starting to hate him driving my car.
It's really annoying.
So
we'll take the 225s off and something fatter for you.
I got some 255s on. What bull pattern is it?
Mustang.
Let's get some fat boy 275s on Hoosiers on that thing, man. That would be a quick girl. That would not be slow. But.
So Rob,
Yes. Where
can people find out about the Cardinal and what you guys do?
Absolutely. So first place to go is fieldsautoworks.com, fieldsautoworks.com. You can also visit our Facebook page, which is Fields Auto Works, for our trackside support and other streetcar build and other work. We're also at Fields Engineering on Facebook and on Instagram.
Neato. Yeah. What other events are you doing this year?
So we've got 9 or 10 rentals booked through the rest of the year across the country at various track day organizations. At this moment, our main grid life commitments are all with Colton here, who's standing next to me.
And you've got the car rented this weekend, right?
We do have the car rented this weekend, one of those test drive rentals. So we're really looking forward to getting that customer set up in the car and get him out here tomorrow morning.
He's going to have a lot of fun tomorrow.
So
was he not driving today?
We just had Tom take some data laps.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I got to tell you, it's been really, like, we're pretty close to the same. How old are you?
Yes, closely held government secret.
Yeah. Either way, I've known you a long time, and it's been really fun watching you grow, or I guess us grow up, because we have to be pretty close to the same age. I mean, when I've known Scott, Good Arrow Scott, for longer than I've known you, and we used to find cars for him to do his test fits. I think we did the first 944 wing at our shop for Todd Sloan, long-time customer of mine. And so I'd met the field. They would show up, and there would be I'd be like, "Hey, I have a customer that wants a wing," and they would come and basically design the uprights or fit the uprights at our shop. And then fast forward, they took over Good Aero completely, and then fast forward some more, and they had the idea to build the goofy little car that's so cool, and then to watch it turn into a reality, and like you've made it a legitimate thing that you do every day is so cool. Have seen from like
soup to nuts.
pre-idea to inception to possibility to development to reality.
Right.
It's been a really cool thing to be a loose part of and be around for.
Absolutely, and
I commend you for it. That's not easy.
Thank you very much. It has been a tremendous amount of work, and I would be remiss not to point out that you know my father, our design director, has been the main driving force behind so much of that progress. And then the other thing, sort of turning our head and looking the other direction, looking into the future, we're just starting to take pre-orders on our next model, which is
I was going
to
ask you about that.
It might be
I want one of those. That thing is awesome, and I'm going to street drive mine.
It might be the prettiest thing that is offered right now. It's
it
a 962
like
that's smooth.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good. It's so cool. What's the story behind that thing?
So it's called a Scioto Coupe. We're very Ohio.
Is
Ohio
that named after a river?
It is named after the river that goes through our town.
Come visit me. I'll take you to the river. We'll hold hands.
Yeah,
have a picnic.
Down by the river, dude. Down by the river.
Sit on a dock.
That's where all
by
our
the
fun
bay or something. Wasting time.
Yeah, dude.
The Scioto is a mid-engine two-seater. It's a traditional sports racer style. Enclosed body.
For people that are listening, it looks like the. It looks really similar to like a 962. Porsche, like it looks
it's,
old.
This
Le Mans
thing looks sick.
Does it?
Yeah.
It's
the
gorgeous,
first
right?
time I've ever
look
seen
how pretty it is.
I want that.
I hate
so
blue, but I'll get it in another color.
So, what's the envisioned drivetrain, etc.?
Well, so we had a really funny experience with that because we tried to take a very similar approach to the Cardinal in that we said, all right, let's pick something reasonable and easy to maintain and very accessible, and there's millions of them out there and whatever. And so what we picked was a supercharged V6 drivetrain out of an Audi. with the intent that you would do a block off on the output shaft and treat it like a transaxle.
That seems 100% crazy, but I could see where it comes
from. No, the 3-liter supercharge motor is probably one of the best motors that Audi's made in a long time.
Total tank.
But, so
as long as you can keep the water pump and thermostat in them, you're good. Like, they really don't fail aside from that.
So we were looking at it going, okay, this is a great way to achieve, you know, very reasonable power, good mid-engine platform, right. Great parts availability, all this stuff. And we had, you know, a real kind of awakening when we started to notice that the type of customer really coming for the Scioto was like, yeah, that's great. That makes a lot of sense. Can I have 1,000 horsepower?
Can I have ITB?
Right, exactly.
Can I have an LS?
My neighbor has a underground racing Gallardo. Will it be faster than that?
Yeah. I mean, that's literally,
because that's all I care about. And also, can I have a burble tune?
Yeah.
I mean, truly.
Does it burp flames and
can I roast marshmallows out of the exhaust?
How fast is it?
With my Brap-Braps during Cars and Coffee. That's all I care about.
And so what we ended up doing was we said, okay, number one, we're just going to stretch the body by 6 inches in the rear because everybody wants these outrageous drivetrains. But the other thing was
so freaking fast.
All right.
So ridiculous.
Oh, it is. And so, but the other thing we did is the Cardinal is extremely open. I mean, anything from a liter bike motor up to a supercharged Coyote will fit in there and will bolt right up. For the Scioto, we said, you know, we're going to have to blow this out a little more. We had made it a little more constrained around the type of drivetrain we envisioned.
Right.
And now, you know, on the what we're calling now the pre-production design revision, we're at a point where it's, you know, it really can accept anything from, you know, if you wanted to put a radical drivetrain in it, it would take it.
You could put a Busa motor.
You could,
or
yeah,
you
absolutely could.
Dry
sump or
LS,
you go the other direction. We had a
or
conversation.
Whatever Kawasaki motor you put in your yellow and orange thing.
No, Yamaha.
Whatever.
Yeah. R1.
We had a conversation with someone recently about putting a Judd V10 in. And
dude,
those are popular on the internet right now.
I cannot wait until I see that Judd V10 going sideways or straight at a Grid Life event.
Are you
Mr. Ryan Turk?
I have no ties to that drivetrain, but that sounds great. And I would like one.
Yeah.
So yeah. We've got, you know, so there are a couple other European V8s people have talked to us about. We've got one in the shop right now that we're preparing to put in a car. And but I think the in all likelihood, there's probably about a year lifespan on the total open season, put whatever motor you want in the Scioto before we clamp down onto a specific design.
What do you guys use for management on the, like, the put whatever motor you want in situation? Because, you've discussed...
whatever management you want.
You've discussed
16 cylinders or less right now.
You've discussed an old-school 10-cylinder. You've discussed direct injected supercharged motors.
We're literally talking like
traditional fuel injection motors.
You talked about.
Do you have like a recipe for put whatever in? We'll hook this up to it, and then we'll make it work. Or is it? Are you a la carting how you figure all of them out?
It's quite a la carte, and the sort of the magic to that is that there is so little interface between the chassis and the drivetrain.
Right.
On the Cardinal, what we recommend, the design intent is you buy a crate motor from Ford, the 2.3 EcoBoost, or the motor of your choice. It comes with a controls pack that includes an ECU that's meant to be a standalone unit. You put those things together, you bolt them in the car, and you go. On the Scioto, being as open format as it is, it's very much a bring your own, you know, whatever it is that you want to do.
K24. Hayabusa.
Yeah. That is both
Viper
awesome
V10.
And sounds like a tremendous headache.
Well, no, it all depends on what you're trying to. Because so I will say we've worked with had discussions with a couple folks about putting some really exotic drivetrains in them that are functioning streetcar motors, and we've discouraged those people pretty severely and said, look, if you're looking for that level of power and that level of whatever, here is a known done quantity that achieves that performance. It, you know, comes prepackaged and it will run this controller or that controller, and And it's,
can you give an example? Like, what kind of solution are you talking?
They're telling
about?
People to buy Hellcats, basically.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly.
If so, you want to go to Cars and Coffee, go straight and hit things when you can't control your car. Just buy one off the showroom floor.
It's too pretty. You can't crash this into spectators. They'll roll off, and there won't be enough injuries.
Sure. So I think a good example would be that if you say I want a Scioto that's going to be putting down 600 horsepower. With a sequential box, I want traction control, I want launch control, I want pit lane speed limiter, all the driver aid goodies.
Dude, pit lane speed limiter is so tempting. I want to do that in my own car, and there's no reason for it, but it's so dope.
I'll let you know if I find something to make that work in our old shop.
Well, so for us, we've had great success. It's not without its challenges getting there, but we've had great success doing things like M-tron and Motec for that.
Right.
And because the car, the rolling chassis package is coming in as low as it is price-wise for the performance, it leaves a lot of headroom for that. If you want everything feature-wise that I just described in a Cardinal that makes 400 wheel horsepower, you can still be out the door for less than half the cost of the equivalent performance GT3 RS.
Right.
Yeah.
Paying someone
we
to do it.
Interjected on your thought. Correct. What engine platform were you talking about for a second? If you were talking about 600.
Oh, so that would be probably you'd be looking at something like you get a performance crate LS with like supercar systems or an Albin sequential or a Sadev sequential, and run all of that on M-tron or Motec.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds so fun, man. That sounds so fun.
At the moment, I'll just stick with my Civic.
But we can dream.
That is true.
I mean, we can totally dream.
Well, I like my crappy old E36.
And at the same time, from a simplicity standpoint, with the Cardinal, it all comes in one crate. You unbox it. You plug all the things together that go together and put it in the car and it runs.
What kind of doors does it have? Do they go straight up or do they go out?
So the Scioto, the doors are traditional gull wing.
Oh, good. They gotta go up, dude. They gotta go
Adam
up somewhere.
Brought back Lambo doors.
It's actually
Lambo
true.
No, I mean, you absolutely can all have
so
Lambo
like,
doors.
I think we actually.
Will you put Lambo doors on my E36?
Intense podcast in our podcast in my car. I think we actually have might have brought back Lambo doors a little bit.
Love it.
I want to say that I'm looking at a picture of the Scioto Coupe,
dude,
on
it's
your
so
website,
good.
And it's got like this. Long tail, like Le Mans vibe to it that I'm just in love with.
It looks so dope.
When people ask me to describe the car, I basically say, picture your favorite Le Mans cars and
that's the one.
Put
that's
them all
that.
Together
yeah,
and
all
there it is.
And like you don't remember any of the exact details, but they all kind of have the same silhouette. And then you look at the photo and you're like, oh yeah, that's pretty much what I was thinking about.
That's all of them.
Well, and what's so funny is, so I had someone, there's a person in our little neighborhood there where our shop is who owns a 962. And he walked in one day and he looked at our car. He was in for a totally other reason, but he looked at our car and he goes, oh, that looks a lot like my Porsche or whatever. And I was like, no, it doesn't. And he goes, yeah, it looks just like it. And I was like, okay. So he pulled up a picture of his car and we stood there and really looked at the details. He goes, this is nothing like my Porsche. But because
air,
that's exactly like, it's that classic sports racer long tail.
Right.
Body style.
Yeah, the early prototype life, like that is 70s, 80s, 90s, it evolved, and that would be like the smooth, perfect version of that early prototype style, right? It's very cool, very cool.
I hope you sell a bunch of them, because I would love to see more of them.
Wouldn't it be so good to see like a whole field of super
spec
unlimited?
Spec field Cardinal.
Cardinal.
Very cool.
Can't hide by bad driving in a spec class.
That's right. True. That is true. If you got friends in the same car, you either suck or you don't. Where do people check you out again?
That's Fields Auto Works, FieldsAutoWorks.com.
Works
and
with
on
an O.
Facebook. Yeah. That's right.
Trendsetters.
We're on Facebook and Instagram.
Spelling it correctly. There you go.
It's so abstract now.
So we're on Facebook and Instagram, and then our trackside support and other engineering services are at Fields Engineering.
Yeah, very cool. Well, it's been a good time getting to know you. You're at NCM, you're at Blackhawk. We stuffed a mic in Colton's face a bunch. As of this point, they haven't even came out because we've been
I've been trying to manage my own life.
We're getting backlogged on podcast. Dave's only putting one a week.
Speaking of Colton.
Yeah.
Speaking of Colton.
Hi.
We did a thing today with Colton.
Yeah, Colton, what happened?
Did anybody catch on to that?
Save that for the next episode.
Oh.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jubbe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at a Grid Life to say hello.